Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have NASCU's Lucy Ito talking about the latest outlook on state credit union system, RBC2, and marijuana business making issues. So check it out. Moving to the next acronym, which is probably the most famous acronym in 2015, which is RBC2. Because it was quite the whirlwind at the beginning of the year. Now it is percolating once again. What's your take on that? I know you guys want kind of further refinement on it, but what's your overall take on what's occurring right now?
Well, as you know, NCUA, it's on the board's agenda for tomorrow, the final RBC rule. So, in terms of additional refinement, if you ask me tomorrow, I'll be in a better position to let you know what I think is necessary. But let me start by saying that I do think that from RBC1 to RBC2, NCUA made significant changes, improvements to the rule, which really we applaud and support. Our two biggest concerns with RBC2 were first, assuring that it is right-sized, you might say, for credit unions. In RBC2, the definition of a complex credit union is $100 million. We just worry about whether or not that's the right size for credit unions. We're concerned that just having an asset threshold doesn't look at how complex the activity of a credit union really is. And our concern is credit unions' competitiveness with similarly sized community banks. So if a community bank is considered complex, either at a larger size or because they look at certain activities, then credit unions be disadvantaged. The second item that we're concerned about is assuring that NCUA exercises the authority that we believe they have to count supplemental capital for risk-based capital purposes. And that's a big one. Credit unions, again, are put at a disadvantage relative to their banking counterparts can raise supplemental capital so easily. It's interesting, you look at other credit union movements around the world and supplemental capital is allowed. This is something, and under the risk-based capital proposal, we would really like to see NCUA exercise the authority it has in that realm. We realize that beyond risk-based capital, that they're more restricted for statutory reasons, but support a push for supplemental capital even more broadly than risk-based.
Yes, we are all waiting on pins and needles what will happen tomorrow. And speaking of another kind of hot topic here, what's your view on the marijuana business-based banking? Because as you all know, the Fourth Corner Credit Union has been trying to launch here for the past, 6 months now or so, and then obviously this more and more states are legalizing the usage of it and stuff. I mean, what's your perspective on this? Because it's a pretty darn hot topic as well.
It is a hot topic, and I think it's important to make sure we distinguish between the issue of legalizing marijuana use versus where it is legal and, focusing on marijuana banking as you described it, business banking. I believe the last time I checked, 23 states and the District of Columbia had approved recreational or, in the vast majority of those cases, comprehensive medical marijuana use.
Medicinal use, yeah.
Yeah, and for those states, there's a real security issue that has come about because those businesses are not able to access the payment system of the country. They have to operate in cash. Can you imagine if you were a credit union and you had to pay your employees in cash? It really is put your employees at risk. The cooks know that you're operating in cash, and it makes both your business and your employees targets of robbery. Also, imagine if you were a business and instead of paying your taxes, or even as an individual paying your taxes, imagine having to do that in cash.
Oh, I know.
Businesses have to hire armored trucks and go pay their taxes in cash.
Exactly.
Amazing. I've also heard that their businesses, they want to document what they're doing because they're not able to pay their employees with checks, they've come up with some interesting ways of documenting the pay that they are giving to their employees. Mm-hmm. So I recently heard that a number of legal marijuana businesses pay their employees in gift cards because it's a way of documenting the amount that's given. You know, with cash, it's very difficult to say this is precisely. So our view is that what's needed is clarification for those states where marijuana businesses are legal. Uh-huh. It's important to clarify that that it's all right for credit unions and banks to serve the legal businesses. There's a Senate bill, the number 1726, something like that. Mm-hmm. It is a great start to providing that clarification, but even greater clarification would allow credit unions and banks to serve these businesses and know that they're not not violating federal law. So we do think it's important to respect states' rights, and in those states where they've legalized the businesses, the financial institutions in that state need to be able to serve the businesses.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, no matter which side of the issue you're on, if it's legal, it legitimizes that business, and it takes kind of like the underworld out of it. Because how you describe them having to deal with cash. My gosh. The hurdles they have to jump to do that type of stuff. So I would think it would just take out that whole kind of black market-ish perspective of it and legitimize it and make it, a real business that's, working, above ground, so to speak.
And I know several other states are looking at legalizing medical or recreational use. So the trend nationwide just seems, we're almost at half of the states. Yeah. So I think that there's a true national trend there. So this issue is only going to, the pressure, it's just going to increase. The security concerns is going to increase.
Imagine.
For those states that decide it's not for them, that's their right.
Right, exactly. All right, next thing here. Let's talk about your conference coming up. My gosh, a happy, happy topic. In New Orleans, October 21st, 22nd?
Yes, 21st to the 23rd, actually.
I'm sorry.
And yes, we are celebrating our 50th anniversary. Very exciting. In New Orleans, fantastic town. We're very excited. We've got a couple of the NCUA board members speaking there. Board member McWaters will be there on the first day. Board member Vice Chairman Rick Metzger will be there with us on the second day of the conference. Mm-hmm. And very excited because a signature issue for Vice Chairman Metzger is field of membership.
Yes.
So he will be speaking on that, and then actually he and I together will be moderating a panel of folks who have different field of membership experience. Mm-hmm. Linda Jekyll, Washington State, David Reed from Reed and Jolly, and then actually Matt Valeris from NCUA, who is their point person on field of membership.
Oh,
great. So we're looking forward to a really dynamic discussion there. And then surprising for some folks might be that we've invited John Ryan from
CSVS. I was just going to say something.
So CSVS is the Conference of State Bank Supervisors. It basically is the NASCUS for bank supervisors and community banks. And we have actually a lot in common with CSVS because, like NASCUS, they are nurturing, fostering the dual charter system mm-hmm. on the bank side. Mm-hmm. So just like credit unions, banks have a choice of having a state charter or a federal charter. And like us, CSVS believes that the dual charter system is good for consumers, that diversity in the marketplace. And that's what, we're very lucky in this country, very robust bank and credit union systems. And I personally believe that the dual charter system is why our credit union system has been so successful, mm-hmm. allowing that experimentation at the state level, allowing two solutions and allowing credit unions to go back and forth. So we'll be celebrating in New Orleans and giving ourselves a shot in the arm for making sure that the dual charter system remains dynamic and robust.
that's how industries succeed, is being kind of nimble like that and being robust and dynamic and always kind of looking for change that makes things better. So kudos.
And, you know, it works in both directions. So states have lots to learn from federal folks, and federal folks, we believe, have lots to learn from states. And that exchange is really exciting.
Indeed. Great message to end on, Lucy. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day. I appreciate it. Wow, this was wonderful. We got to do this more often.
Yes, sounds good.